Natural Nurse, hoping that you are staying healthy. We'd like to thank all those participants in our many on-ground and online ongoing workshops. For instance, we have one coming up October 3rd, which is next week, called Botanicals for a Healthy Inflammatory Response, Cooling the Fire Dragon. And you can go online at naturalnurse.com, click on calendar, and find a link to register. There is actually no fee for that, and it does have CE credits for registered dietitians and naturopathic physicians, and others can take it as well. And for instance, I do holistic nursing, so I can print that out and use it for my holistic nursing certification. And if you're a layperson, there's lots going on as well. We have an edible and medicinal plant walk coming up. We just did a Chinatown trip. Dr. Zamperin and I realized that that Chinatown trip that we did was the 60th one, 60th tour that we did in Chinatown. And we'll have more. We have two every year. So if you missed that one, which did sell out, you certainly can look forward to joining us another time, because we have ongoing classes basically every day now that online is available. When we started this 30 years ago, there was no online. Just amazing how things have evolved. And today we'd like to introduce you to our guest, and her name is Dr. Maricel Arce. And Dr. Maricel graduated from the University of Bridgeport Naturopathic Medical College, and that's actually the school that one of the founders of was our own Dr. Eugene Zamperone. He is a founder of that college and is a professor there at this time. And Dr. Maricel went to Bridgeport after focusing on cultural anthropology with a connection to nutrition and medicinal mythologies that were found in methodologies that were found in a wide variety of cultures around the world. Her mentors included many of my own as well, such as Dr. Weston Price, Gunther Enderlin, had a fascinating look at how microorganisms evolve, and Roy Ali. And she did extensive studies on the history of food. Dr. Arce's latest accomplishments include becoming certified in applied kinesiology, as taught by Dr. Eugene Charles. This, along with her expertise in sports medicine, gives her a unique approach to physical ailments, such as minor muscle injuries, to facilitating the healing of fractures. She also creates unique fitness programs that enhance the body and supports the functionality of the muscles and joints. Dr. Arce has been in practice for 10 years and promotes better health, food, and the ability to have sustainable living. And she has a clinic. You can find her at naturalcarewestchester.com. Thank you so much for joining us today, Dr. Arce.
Thank you for having me.
Now, tell me if I'm pronouncing your name correctly.
The first name was fantastic. The last name is Arce. There is an emphasis on the E as almost like an A. It's a Spanish, you know, a last name.
Okay, so I didn't know that. We didn't have the little tilde over the E.
Yeah, no. It's invisible.
It's an invisible tilde. Okay, so we're going to call you Dr. Maricel. And
perfect.
Remind our listeners they can find out more on your website at Natural Care Westchester. And
absolutely.
Let's go back in time a little bit. And
sure.
You have a very fascinating history. What led you to focus on cultural anthropology?
Well, it's a funny, funny story. I was enamored by Indiana Jones. It's as simple as that. I really, being the fact that I grew up in a multicultural environment, I was very well versed with so many different applications of using so many different things for so many different ailments, being that either my grandmother or my grandfather or my godmother who were Peruvian. And then I had other what we called aunts and uncles that were not necessarily blood aunts and uncles, but they were very, very close friends that were either French or, you know, from many different cultures, or Portuguese, Mexican, that would kind of teach me, you know, if there was a problem, like if I had a sore throat, what to do with that, or, you know, if my tummy hurt, you know, certain herbs and certain teas to mix, or how we saw food growing up. You know, we saw the importance of eating organ meats and the importance of combining certain foods together to create dishes where, you know, you'd see it at a restaurant going, oh, this is a nice combination, but in essence, there is actually a medicinal quality to the mixture of the foods. So being that, being influenced by those different cultures, being influenced by, you know, how different people saw the world and through food and culture, I was influenced by that and then enamored by discovery. I was enamored by, you know, watching people dig, you know, rocks and finding how, you know, thousands of years ago, you know, certain pottery and they would mix certain foods with in this pottery and, you know, different traditional habits by ancient cultures. So I was definitely drawn to archaeology and paleontology and things like that. So I tried to, you know, I combined the two and I said, hey, I can study cultures currently and past to kind of see where we're going into the future and how we can utilize some of this ancient wisdom.
Well, that's beautiful. You know, just yesterday I visited something that came from an archaeological dig, which is quite fascinating, and it has to do with herbal medicine, so we're moving in that direction as well. And that is the mummy called Orzi the Iceman. Have you kept up with what's going on with him? It was like the oldest intact human that has ever been. So he's being actually shown at the DNA learning facility at Cold Spring Harbor Labs, and I live very close to there. So I went over there the other day, and it was a fascinating archaeological find. And one of the things he had, because he was discovered completely intact with hair, with his clothes, and with his herbal medicine bag, which was made out of an animal hide tied around his waist, that had medicinal birch bark fungus in there, which is known to have antibiotic and properties. So that was pretty amazing.
Yeah, no, that's exactly it. That's my passion. That's my love. That's, you know, I really enjoy when we have these findings and understandings of how people thought and what did they utilize for their own well-being.
Right. So that really brought together your focus of cultural anthropology and nutrition and medicinal methodologies from a, you know, from a very ancient culture. This guy's over 5,000 years old. You know, this is not new stuff. And so it has always been part of the human practice to use plants and natural medicine.
Exactly.
And just like you said, my grandmother was from Greece, and I began on my natural healing path from really, you know, learning from her. And so much of that has been lost. You know, it's one thing that they have brought in pharmaceuticals, which really can be useful at particular points in time, but then they politically and purposefully removed this ancient knowledge, this ancient cultural knowledge that is in every culture. From doctors' consciousness and mainstream consciousness.
You know, funny you should say about Greek culture. That's one of the cultures, and I'm talking Hellenic time, ancient Greek cultures. Byzantine era, unfortunately, was a melding of a lot of different cultures. So I actually try to backtrack and try to see before cultures started with the huge empires. Ancient Greek culture, ancient Hellenic culture, had a huge influence on even modern medicine today. So it's very interesting to kind of see how politics has kind of manipulated and changed the view of a lot of different things.
Yes, certainly. It certainly has, and it evolves over time. In our book, The Natural Medicine Chest, we have a full chapter on the history of natural medicine and the fact that it has been really lauded and also attacked various times throughout history.
Yes, yes, absolutely. I mean, we can look back into history. If we will look at before the FDA, it was called the Department of Chemistry, and you had someone called Dr. Wiley, who was actually really trying to stop the import of white flour, white sugar, and acetic acid, which is called white vinegar. And, you know, there was big conglomerates that had big money, which changed, you know, that and changed the Department of Chemistry into the FDA. And, you know, we changed our view as a whole, as a society, as to what food is. You know, food was essentially things that were nourishing the body, and now we have actually a way too broad of a spectrum of what food actually is.
Oh, you're saying that things that are called food actually are often toxic and cause disease instead of being nourishing.
Exactly.
And that's so true. So you got a degree in anthropology, and then what made you move forward into deciding to be a naturopathic physician?
Well, I always wanted to be a doctor. As cliche as it sounds, I had a very much a liking and a wanting to help people. Growing up, the first 7 years of my life, our neighbor, who actually shared kind of a driveway with us growing up, he was a gastroenterologist. And I was very much always exposed to him helping, you know, if someone fell, how he would, you know, give a Band-Aid or, you know, clean the wound and things like that. So already at 3-4 years old, I was accessing my inner healer, if you will. And I always was, whenever someone got hurt or bruised or, you know, emotionally or physically, I was always there trying to comfort, trying to find something to help fix the problem. So I've always had a propensity towards helping in a way where I can try to help the person either help themselves heal or to myself, you know, give something that would actually help heal the person. So my drive was always from very, very early to become a doctor because I felt like the doctor had the knowledge, was the teacher, had the ability to, again, in that time, you know, I didn't have an understanding of other practitioners. So again, being influenced by the doctor next door, I said, that's what I want to be. That's where my drive was. And I found the cold sciences not embracing what I wanted to have to help me make myself a better or well-rounded doctor. So anthropology I incorporated because, again, enamored by discovery, enamored by the Indiana Jones methodology of discovery and archaeology and finding and interacting with culture, I felt would be a good component with, again, helping people.
And, you know, the Department of Naturopathic Medicine at the University of Bridgeport, the College of Naturopathic Medicine, is fairly new. Actually, there's some newer schools now, but of course it's fully accredited. And it was the first naturopathic college right here on the East Coast. That's why Dr. Zampro went all the way to Seattle and as many naturopaths have done. So you must have been excited. How did you even find it?
Well, I was actually in New York Medical College up here in Westchester. And because I did college in 3 years. And then I said I wanted to give myself a little time to explore medicine. So I became an EMT after college.
Bio. How interesting. That really gives you yet another perspective.
Well, it gave me a foothold into the understanding of emergency medicine, and it gave me a one step ahead where now I had the reaction, the capability of reacting to a situation properly and not being, you know, taking out my subjective and emotional nature and become more objective and drawing upon all my knowledge as quick as I possibly can. So it honed in my skill. And then I went to New York Medical College, and being there for 1 year, I was a little disheartened at the way regular medical school was. And I would talk to my mother, who is my greatest mentor, because she worked in Sloan Kettering. She was a hematologist, an electron microscopist. She, you know, is a very smart woman. She has a PhD in biology. So I would always talk to her to see what would be the best way to get my knowledge. And she said, you do what you think is necessary for you. Never try to make anybody else happy. And I said, but Mom, I want to be a doctor. And she said, well, if this is killing you, maybe there's some other school that incorporates something. So she inspired me to do a little investigation. So initially, I thinking that maybe it was just the school itself, I applied myself for down south in Miami to go to a medical school there and get a master's and a medical degree, thinking, okay, pathology, a master's in pathology is about discovery. So maybe that will help me kind of feel out. Maybe it's just I need more enticement, something. So when I went down to Florida, again, I was not very happy with the schooling there, and I only did part of the first semester and transferred back up here. But in that meantime, I was researching, just endlessly researching schools of places. I mean, I was even considering going to Europe to potentially go and learn about trying to incorporate herbalism, botanical medicine, homeopathy, things to incorporate into my doctorate, into my medical degree. And it struck me, and I said, what is this naturopath? What is this? And I started reading about the history of it, and I really liked it. And then I found that it was in Connecticut, and I said, oh, I don't even have to go too far. It's right here in Connecticut. And I said, that's it. That's what I want to do. This incorporates everything, and it's medical school. I want to be this. This is what I want to be.
Yes, it sounds like it was absolutely a made in heaven event for you. And it's bad that this fantastic degree and schooling, you know, you have to dig so hard to find it, but it is expanding tremendously. And of course, there are more and more states where naturopathic doctors who are fully licensed from accredited universities like yourself are actually functioning as PCPs and general doctors, you know, right within the medical profession, although that's not the state the way it is yet in New York. We're going to have to do some political work. But Connecticut is, and I've heard several other states have just come on board. I believe Pennsylvania may have, and also Massachusetts has, many of the New England states. So, you know, it's moving forward, and it is becoming – the thing is that many people don't know, but I'm sure you do since you're a historian as well, that actually naturopathic licenses were completely valid in New York in previous times.
Oh, absolutely.
So then they allowed it.
Yeah. No, you have Dr. Benedict Luce, who started the first college here in New York, and he's the one that actually coined the naturopathy word here, specifically in the United States on the Eastern Seaboard. And, yeah, naturopathic schools, homeopathic schools, eclectic schools were all something that you can apply yourself to. Regular medical schools were actually more rare. And they were harder to find. You had the Harvard and the Yale and the Princeton. But the naturopathic schools, even the chiropractic schools, were really, really – you could find them here and there and everywhere in the early 1900s.
Yes, absolutely. And the thing is that so often when we actually track the outcome, especially with degenerative illnesses, a naturopathic approach has a better outcome.
Yes.
And this is in studies.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we can even look in history, which, again, is not taught, about how during cholera time in London, the cure rate of cholera in the homeopathic hospitals was 97%, where the regular hospitals was only 52%. And that's homeopathic. And imagine if we were to incorporate in certain scenarios where, you know, simple things, you incorporate all sorts of herbs and food combinations and dietary recommendations, how much faster a person can really get back on their feet.
Boy, you must have been jumping for joy when you actually walked into the naturopathic college and started getting education fit for a doctor, but focused on what I call good medicine, evidence-based medicine, which involves diet, lifestyle, herbs, homeopathy, food. That is what heals people. And you had it there in a doctorate program.
Giddy. I was giddy.
I bet. I bet. I felt like that when I actually came across the American Holistic Nurses Association, and I became a nurse in 1973, and I didn't find the Holistic Association until, I don't know, maybe 1988. But at that time, I said, oh, my goodness, something that brings nursing and healing together? That was my original goal.
Right, right.
And you can just cry for joy. So I'm so happy that you actually, you know, went through that program. And just from your history, we know that you are not someone who gives up. You keep searching. And I'm sure you do that with your patients as well. And I'm sure you often get difficult patients who have been through the realm of therapeutic options in conventional medicine, which, of course, is extremely limited to pharmaceuticals and surgery. They're not going to get a digestive analysis, most likely, or even a food allergy test, or any way of looking at what might be causing ongoing illness, and they may have been through the mill, and then they come to you, and it's, you know, it just opens so many doors.
Absolutely. Yeah, in my office, I have a box of tissues in every room because I have many, many people coming in giving me their story and crying about how many doctors they've been to, how many tests they've done, how many things, how much time has passed where they're still in pain or still suffering, and nobody can give them an answer because conventional tests don't really find anything. And unfortunately, even some savvy doctors are using some of the more functional tests, and even some of them sometimes fall short to really answering what the cause and the problem is.
Well, I have to say that's true. Now, I do honor conventional diagnostics because very often that's great. However, it's the treatment options that are so limited.
Yes.
Like
yes.
If someone's
no, absolutely.
Told, let's say, something that's so common, they have IBS, irritable bowel syndrome. Then they're given some pharmaceutical. Nobody even says, what are you eating? When that is one of the biggest direct
questions.
Causes.
Yep. Yeah.
So something that I know you're so focused on is in-depth analysis with many tests that actually are not done in conventional medicine, and also which are non-invasive testing, but really opens the door to why this is happening. And of course, then the therapeutic options are not something that you necessarily can just do. The patient has to be on board with changing the behavior that causes the illness.
Right. They have to be a full participant. Absolutely. When you walk through the doors in my office, you are 100% a participant. You are the team player. You are the leader of the team. And it's very, very important that they take a foothold and an understanding as to what's going on. I'm essentially, I tell them, I'm kind of like the archaeologist. I'm digging and finding what it is that's missing, what it is that needs to be found in order for us to really kind of start the process. And then they have to be the leaders. They have to walk around saying, I'm going to do this. And I just want her, you know, I'm like the cheerleader. I'm the cheerleader. I'm going to help them out.
Well, that's a great way to describe it. We're going to take a little break right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. And when we come back, we're going to continue our discussion with Dr. Maricel Arce. And you can find out more at naturalcarewestchester.com. And we're going to be talking about some of those specific evaluation techniques she has, like thermography, acoustic cardiograph, applied kinesiology, and more. We'll be right back. Stay tuned. And you're listening to The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z.
On this edition of The Natural Medicine Chest, we'll discuss an herb we all know and love, cinnamon.
Ah. spicy, sweet smell of cinnamon. Everyone recognizes the familiar aroma of this common kitchen spice. But did you know that cinnamon is an exotic plant bark with a long history of medicinal use in many countries throughout the world? Cinnamon was listed as an herb with medicinal properties in Chinese literature as early as 2700 BC. It is described in the Chinese medical text, the Tang Materia Medica, written in 659 AD. Cinnamon also enjoys traditional use in Ayurvedic medicine, the ancient healing art of India. It is mentioned in the Book of Moses and has been cultivated in Ceylon and Sri Lanka since 1200 AD, where much of the world's supply is still grown.
In Europe, cinnamon was regarded as a rare and precious spice. Many pharmaceutical substances, such as cough syrups and digestive tonics, contain cinnamon. It was also used as an incense and in perfumes. According to Chamberlain, writing in France in 1887, cinnamon possesses the greatest antiseptic properties. Cinnamon is gathered from the dried inner bark of the branches of a small tropical evergreen laurel tree. The bark is peeled off, and as the pieces are dried, they curl up into quills. These are the common cinnamon sticks that are used in herb teas and for baking.
In Chinese medicine, cinnamon is one of the most widely used warming herbs to aid in circulation and digestion. It is a common ingredient in small amounts in tea used for nausea during pregnancy. It is also used following delivery to decrease hemorrhage. Cinnamon raises vitality, warms and stimulates all the vital functions of the body, counteracts congestion, improves the digestive system, relieves abdominal spasms, and aids in peripheral circulation. The essential oils contained in cinnamon include eugenol, cinnaminic aldehyde, methyl eugenol, tannins, and mannitol, which give cinnamon its sweet flavor. It also contains cinzenolin and cinzenolol, which are both known insecticides.
Try putting some liquid soap and cinnamon in a spray bottle and use on plants as an organic bug repellent. Cinnamon is also included in many medicinal recipes that are used for lice, scabies, and other skin parasites. Cinnamon has antifungal, antiviral, and bactericidal activities. It has been shown to suppress E. coli, Staphylococcus, and Candida albicans.
So, listeners, the next time you inhale that sweet, spicy aroma, remember there's more to cinnamon than meets the nose as you reach into your natural medicine chest.
More right here on the Natural Medicine Chest. And you're listening to the Natural Medicine Chest we just played. And the name of our show is The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. And we are here with guest Dr. Marizel Arce. And we would like to invite you to join myself and Dr. Eugene Zamperone, naturopathic physician, as well as Dr. Arce. And you can join us on ground or online in many classes and workshops. Go to naturalnurse.com. You can see the many books we have written, such as The Natural Medicine Chest, Arthritis, The Alternative Medicine Definitive Guide, Weight Loss, The Alternative Medicine Definitive Guide, The Natural Guide to Great Sex, Virility and Vitality, Supplements for Pain, and a wide range of other books, all listed right on our website at naturalnurse.com. You can also visit calendar and see all of our upcoming classes that are both on ground and online. And you can visit radio shows where this show, today's show with Dr. Marizel Arce, as well as thousands of other shows are there for you to listen to anytime you want. You can download them, use them for a medical reference. They are actually searchable. There's a search box there, so if you put in a term that you want to know about, like thyroid health or whatever it is, you will find lots of expert advice there for your use. And today's guest, Dr. Marizel Arce, we're going to talk about Some topics such as thermography, hydrotherapy, and other naturopathic techniques, and you can learn about them on the archives after today's show. And you can find out more about Dr. Maricel Arce at naturalcarewestchester.com. What made you decide to choose Westchester as your location, Dr. Maricel?
Well, initially, my first office was in Manhattan, and I figured, okay, I'm a New Yorker through and through, and I figured Manhattan, since it's so many people influx, you know, that would be a good place. But traveling to Manhattan is exhausting, and being a healer is, you know, sometimes a little taxing itself. So I didn't want to exhaust myself. And at the time, about 3 years in, I met my current, my husband, and he said, you know what, I have an office up here in Westchester, and there's a part of the building that has a couple of rooms. Would you want to consider coming up here in Westchester? So I tried it out. I said, hey, why not? Start in Westchester, and since about 2011, and I've been here ever since. And I really enjoy the environment. I enjoy the lack of traffic for my commute. So that's why Westchester. I'm a New Yorker, and it was the best
it's
I can do without
choice.
Having to travel to Manhattan.
Yeah, it's a lovely area. And, you know, as healers, self-care is important because you want to model that healthy lifestyle that you're promoting. So very, very good explanation. So let's talk about some of these unique therapeutics. And you also have a description at Natural Care Westchester. You use thermography. And I have actually seen some of your patients who have brought me their thermography report. And it is impressive as a wonderful, non-invasive diagnostic tool. Tell us what it is and how you use it.
Well, the thermography is a measurement of the ANS, the autonomic nervous system, under duress. So what happens is it's measuring the heat, if you will. Every cell has its own heat, right? Like our body produces its own, we have a temperature. So every cell has a temperature, if you will. And what happens is when you are scanned, we're measuring initially a kind of like a baseline of all your different points of the body. And then what happens is you're standing in a cold room for 10 minutes, and that's the stress on the body. That's the regulatory mechanism of trying to keep the temperature even in your body. And so when I scan again with the thermography, I am then seeing if any cells or a group of cells or even an organ isn't conforming to the regulation of the body and has either increased or decreased in a non, I guess, normal way, if you will. And then we get to see maybe the function of that organ, that cell, or that cell, the whole cells are not up to par. And that can give us insight to disease. That can give us insight to something not regulating. The physiology in that area is not doing what it's supposed to do. And that can lead us to, you know, if you keep going with that, the cells will change. And as the cells change, they will produce toxins and create patterns of disease.
Well, I have seen thermography used quite a bit by many people who choose to decrease their use of mammography. And I have to say, me personally, I'm not saying anyone should make this choice. Me personally, I'm in my late 60s, and I have never had the mammography. I have always used thermography. That was my choice.
Right.
And then I will also back that up with ultrasound every 2 years. So that's what I have used for my scanning tools because I didn't like the idea of constantly being under radiation. So yours was unique when I looked at your reports because you're really doing more of a whole body scan, not just a mammography type scan.
Right. Exactly. So what I have, because I have many people asking me, because there's two different types of thermometry. There's two different types of thermographies. You have the digital, which is women going and sitting on a stool in a cool room, and it's a camera that just looks at the breasts and the general area around the breasts. And that's good. It definitely tells you about vascularity. It tells you about the changes in the tissue itself. But it doesn't go into a deeper level. And it doesn't go into the level on how the breasts themselves are intrinsic and are part of the body. So if there's lymphatic flow or irregular lymphatic flow from the intestinal tract, if there is congestion by the thyroid, if there are problems with circulation from either the lungs, the heart, the whole area, then you are not seeing the whole picture. And so many women and men will tell me, do you just do the breast area? And I said, well, if I did just the breast area and something came up, we would wind up having to do the whole body anyway, because we would need to know what influences there are from different parts of the body that are causing this reaction.
So how does your machine differ? Like, what does someone experience when they're getting a thermography in your office?
So initially when they come in, there's a wand. It's basically like a little wand that has a crystal and a microchip. And what it does is this wand goes to different points. There, some of them are known acupuncture points and other are Chapman reflex points. And then there's other points that were designed, by Dr. Beelen, who created the alpha site, the thermography, the regulation thermography. And so what happens is it's this wand that's it's just basically just laying on the skin, and it sends out that infrared signal. And then now, because it's a little bit closer to the skin, it goes a little bit deeper into the body, rather than the camera that's just taking this distant infrared superficial picture. And so when the wand goes to these different points initially, it creates, like I said, a baseline of your head, your neck, your abdomen, even the circulation from one arm to the other. And so then after 10 minutes of standing in a cold room, and it's 70 degrees, so in the wintertime it's not too cold. In the summertime it's fairly cold.
Cold's not like an x-ray, you know, so if that's as bad
as it gets. Not at all. No, not at all. So you're standing there basically in your skivvies, right? You're just standing with your bottom half of your underwear. If you're a woman, no bra. And you're standing for 10 minutes in this 70-degree room. And you're allowing your body to now try to regulate in that 70 degrees. And then we do those same exact points. And normally we would see kind of a movement upwards of blood flow and lymph flow, because your body's trying to keep the chest warm, the heart warm, and it'll rise even a little bit to the head to keep the head warm. And so if we don't see that pattern of movement, if we see changes, if we see some places getting cooler rather than warmer, or some places getting too warm, then we know something's up.
Well, one thing I do want to remind our listeners is that you are listening to The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. Our guest today is Dr. Marizel Arce. Her website, Natural Care Westchester, all one word, naturalcarewestchester.com, where you have an absolutely marvelous full description. If someone were to go there and click on thermography, the little colored man there, you have a great explanation where you can actually see the machine. You can look at what a report looks like once it's done. And I was very, very impressed. Dr. Marizel, that's why I called you to be on the show, because I actually did get to look at one of your patients' thermographies. And
fantastic.
It matched so accurately all the conventional medical testing that she also had done, but it was more explicative of what might be going on. And also, visited you ongoingly, so she had kind of a year ago and then now, and looking at the changes, I mean, really a fantastic test. And this is with no pain and no blood work and no puncturing the body and no x-rays. So it's a tremendous amount of information and is non-invasive.
Correct. Absolutely. It gives myself and it gives the person getting the test a little bit more of insight, a little bit more of an understanding of how connected the body is. Because again, we're always constantly influenced by the conventional belief that if you have a problem with your intestines, it's just your intestines. If you have a problem with your heart, it's just your heart. If you have a problem with your sinuses, it's just your sinuses. And this gives you an idea that there's a complexity, that the body is a whole organism, and that things are hugely influenced by the movement of blood, hormones, and lymph tissue.
So that's wonderful that you offered that. I think that's actually the first time I've seen those reports. I've seen lots of, like you said, breast mammographies, but I never saw this full body, and I thought it was a very impressive test. And if people want to come to your office, can they pick and choose like a menu of I want this or that, or is it more of a comprehensive analysis?
No, they can certainly pick and choose. I always give that option because some people, you know, don't want to do certain things at the beginning and want to see if they can get started with just simplicity, which I can definitely, appreciate. But they can certainly pick and choose certain treatments, certain tests like the thermography, or they can get it incorporated in their first visit as well.
So I really love the way you have naturopathic comprehensive and regular visit. You have a degenerative disease, you know, ongoing, or you feel terrible and your doctor says you are fine. Oh my God. How many of those patients do we see who finally the doctor will break down and give them some kind of anti-anxiety drug or Zoloft or something when really they're having physical illness that has not been unmasked through conventional medicine. And the last thing they need is a possibly really dangerous anti-anxiety medication.
Yes. Exactly. Agreed. Absolutely.
So you dig a lot deeper, and, you know, you'll find the root cause, which, of course, is the naturopathic mantra.
Yes, yes. That was something Dr. Z completely drilled in us every time
we
had a
it.
Class.
I know it for sure. We have been partners for over 30 years. We jointly own Natural Alternatives Health Education and Multimedia, so I've worked with him closely. And yes, it's so important. And when you look at the history of naturopathic medicine, it's about finding the cause because, well, conventional medicine uses pharmaceuticals to try to hide or patch up the symptoms. It most often does not address the cause and may, in fact, make the overall situation worse over time instead of better.
Right. Absolutely. You know, it's unfortunately a complex scenario because many people want instant gratification of their pain, of their suffering. And at the same time, we also have this quick fix mentality. And so it does feed into possibly the making the root cause worse and multiple roots, then you have multiple roots of problems.
This is so true. Now, what about acoustic cardiograph? What is that?
The acoustic cardiograph is actually of all the things that I do, it's one of my favorites. It actually was created by Royal Lee in the late 1930s. Royal Lee was actually the creator of Standard Process and the Royal Lee mill for grains. And he created this machine. Reason he created his vitamins was using this machine because he would see how the body would react to certain foods, whether it created a good heart rhythm or not. So basically, the acoustic cardiograph, it sounds like what it is. You're listening to the heart. He created actually the endocardiograph, but it turned into the acoustic cardiograph. And what it is you're listening to the four points of the heart. So there's technically five points, but we don't listen to the fifth point. We're listening to the four valves, and we're listening to how the body influences the heart and the valves and the blood flow and the nervous impulse and everything in those four points or those four valve points. And this creates kind of a signature tracing of that person at that moment, real time. Because again, we are highly influenced by our environment, by our nutritional deficiencies, by the functionality of our organs separately and synergistically. So with the acoustic cardiograph, I get to see how, if the liver is having issues, how it influences the tricuspid valve. If the lungs or even the intestinal tract, because again, the intestinal tract and the lungs are both permeable tissue, if they are having issues, how they influence the heart and the way the blood flows through the pulmonary valve. The way digestion is working and the parasympathetic and sympathetic nervous system and on the aortic valve. And when if there are deeper set issues, if there's chronic issues, if there are even deep set cardiovascular issues, we can see that through the mitral valve.
Well, that's excellent. We're going to take another little break right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. You are listening here at PRN.FM, and you'll hear about other shows. And check out Dr. Marisol Arce's website at naturalcarewestchester.com, and she will be back with us right after the break. Stay tuned. The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z.
PRN.FM, bringing you new shows and fresh ideas every day. The Progressive Radio Network is moving forward, and we hope you're coming with us.
South of the border, down Mexico.
I'm Johnny Mueller, host of The Expat Files, living in Latin America. Heard Friday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 12:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's a show where you'll learn how to work, play, do business, or retire and live the life of Riley. Yes, an amazing number of first world people like you are jumping off the stateside treadmill and voting with their feet. And surprise, surprise, they're finding there really is an American dream. But it's not in Seattle, Milwaukee, or Cleveland anymore. It's down here in Latin America. So be sure to tune in to The Expat Files to find out how you can live the good life on a measly Social Security check. Down Mexico.
You're listening to PRN, Progressive Radio Network.
And welcome back once again to The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. I'm your host, Ellen Kamai, The Natural Nurse. You can find us at naturalnurse.com. And our guest today is naturopathic physician Dr. Marisol Arce, who is also well-versed in cultural anthropology with a concentration in nutrition and medicinal methodologies found in a wide array of cultures around the world. And she has studied extensively, and she's an EMT, well-versed in conventional medicine as well, attended conventional medical school before she decided that naturopathic medicine was her true path. And it's so great that she did find that kind of study so she can bring her patients the best of all medicines combined. So thank you so much for being our guest today.
No problem. My pleasure.
Let's talk about nutrition, because people are so confused. Should they be vegan? Should they be paleo? What is your view on nutrition for your patients?
Well, again, being that food is a huge part of our society, along with every society that's ever existed. It's the foundation of my practice, the foundation of people's existence. When it comes to specific diets, when it comes to specific needs and requirements of the body, I do take into account when someone walks through the door, their spiritual and emotional and psychological beliefs. But again, their body talks to me, and I decipher that language to them. And then eventually they learn that language, and they realize that there will be certain needs. So I don't really have a specific set or diet. I don't follow diet protocols. I don't follow named diets. What I do is I follow what the body is saying, what its needs are. And having an understanding of biology, physiology, biochemistry, you kind of get the gist of what muscles need, what organs need, what the body needs in order to digest, what the body needs in order to repair, what certain disease symptoms are called for certain nutrients or herbs. And then on top of that, add that to the acoustic cardiograph, which tells me nutritional deficiencies based on, again, what all those different organs of influence are doing to the heart. It will give us a guide as to what needs to be done.
That's excellent. So what would be a typical diet, or if you want to just think of one patient that you have now, that you may give them a nutritional guidelines?
Okay. The last new patient that I had came in with just fatigue, like low energy, low libido, you know, a mom of three. You know,
well,
she's a little overweight.
You don't have to go further. A mom of three pretty much is exhausted.
So it's an active person as well. So we have to look at, okay, what are you predominantly eating? So what we see is if you're an active person, your body's constantly going mentally and physically. What is the body essentially made of? Protein, right? So we essentially have to look at protein, but we have to look at different aspects of protein because protein, again, can be manipulated in heat. So when you take that chicken breast and you cook it and you grill it, you are cooking it all the way through. And in heat, protein can be changed. We understand that because when we understand protein molecules, after the 140 degrees, those molecules change. So those amino acids and those protein chains will change. So that absorption of protein will not be complete. So we look at the different proteins that can be absorbed easy. And we also look at then, of course, because what is our cell membrane made up of? Lipids, right? Fats. So we also have to ensure that cellular repair is constantly being made properly with the right nutrients and with the right products. So we have to ensure that they're getting the full array of all the different fatty acids from polyunsaturated all the way up to the different types of saturated fats. So that has to be balanced as well. And since we're in a very fat-phobic society, we have to ensure that there's no degeneration of nerve tissue, of, again, the cellular membrane and the brain. So we ensure that they're getting the right fats and the right proteins. And then obviously we have to look at the different carbohydrates, the simplified all the way to the complex. And each will always provide also different things. Most of the time I'm always eliminating sugar because sugar is way too rampant in our society. And then simplified carbohydrates from all sorts of grains that are full of pesticides, those are usually eliminated as well. And then we'll look at other type of carbohydrates that can be also deleterious to the intestinal tract, being that they're either very fibrous or too bitter for the person because their liver isn't up to par.
Okay, so give us perhaps just one food situation that you might have used with a patient.
Well, because I am the Westchester chapter leader for the Weston A. Price Foundation, my first and foremost thing that I tell everybody is getting their hands on grass-fed organic beef, pastured eggs, where the chickens are actually eating bugs and seeds from the grass, and raw milk, you know, raw cheeses, creams, butters, things like that, because that's where you'll get your broad spectrum of different types of fatty acids.
That's not so easy to do because sometimes there's legal ramifications. I know here where I live on Long Island, there are certain farms that grow everything organic, even have goats, and they milk their own goats, and they can only sell that raw unpasteurized milk for pet food. And people
right.
can buy it that way and use it, I don't know, whatever they want, right? But it
right.
actually is legally registered as pet food.
Right. Well, in Massachusetts, since I'm up in Westchester, there's a lot of people who have access to Pennsylvania, northern part, you know, go up one county up into New York, where you have even in Dutchess County, several farms that right on premises, you can go and get your raw milk. Even in northern Connecticut, you can get, you know, your hands on raw milk from the farms. So they make it their job, if it is necessary for them, they make it their job to access themselves that food.
Yep, and you start feeling so much better really quickly.
Absolutely.
We find with people who are switching from a fake food diet to a real food diet, just that little
thing. That's
right.
It's food because that's actually food.
Exactly, and so many people are eating every single thing that's processed, let alone high sugar, high wheat, you know, and then also many people who are really limiting animal products. I will honor that if that's someone's spiritual focus and we can work around it, but very
right.
often it's really not the best choice for their health.
Correct. I agree completely.
Well, I want to thank you for all that information. We only have a couple minutes here, but I'd like you to mention kinesiology.
Sure. Applied kinesiology was created by George Goodhart. Basically, it's kind of like accessing the body's knowledge of what's going on with the muscles, the nerves, and even the organs. It's basically orthopedic muscle testing, utilizing the nervous tissue to tell me whether or not certain things are happening in the body. And so alignments can be done where, you know, either muscles or nerves are not working up to par. They're not completely firing, and we can kind of reset that, especially for minor injuries.
Right. And so it's a wonderful thing to have access to in terms of testing someone's own body. Now, I'm not familiar with the teacher that you mentioned. I took it, I believe, with Goodhart. Of course, that was 40 years ago. But you're talking about a teacher, Eugene Charles, that you studied applied kinesiology with.
Well, Eugene Charles was one of his proteges, Dr. Goodhart's proteges.
Wonderful. The knowledge, march of knowledge continues.
Exactly. And Dr. Charles has a wonderful practice in Manhattan. And he and I, I send back and forth. He sends me, I send him clients. And I got to have firsthand knowledge, literally trickle down, literally being almost taught by Goodhart himself about all the different techniques to kind of reset the body, reset the organs, reset the joints, reset the nerves, so that people can walk away with a little less pain and, again, an understanding of certain mechanisms that are happening in their body, whether it be stress or even foods, that can actually shift even the spine or shift their hips or shift the body into a pain state.
That's excellent. So thank you so much for sharing all this information with us today. As we head out, could you just give us just some words of wisdom and how people can get in touch with you?
Absolutely. I'm very reachable. I have another website, newyorknaturopath.com. Call me, email me. You can find me on the website. I'm also linked onto many other websites. So, you know, I'm very, very reachable, and I will always have an answer. Whether you come and see me in my practice or if you're too far away, I can certainly send you to someone who thinks pretty similar to me.
You mean if someone's outside of your scope?
Correct.
Being close to there. But, of course, you can also do some stuff on the phone. But you have all that wonderful testing ability, which really can open up a window and help someone, you know, find out what they need to do so that they feel better.
Absolutely. I let them, even from the first visit, someone walks away with the choices of what they can do all for themselves, or the choices of trying to seek someone else out if they need to, or to come back to me and we continue the progress.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today for our show right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. And listeners, you can always find out more also at naturalnurse.com. There's also will be links at Progressive Radio Network as well as Natural Nurse to this show as well as our many shows. And until next time, this is Dr. Ellen Kamai, The Natural Nurse. And as always, we're wishing you the best. Stay healthy.